Between those readings and the fact that I'm supposed to be talking about MHA, we could be here till lunchtime, but Putnam might miss us, so I'll try and pick a few things to talk about. The children are doing some ascension-based activities, which at certain points in the service they may be sharing with us. Hopefully a few of them are making kites, which you might see them fly after the service. Ascension is one of those festivals that can go largely unnoticed in certain church traditions. It's, as I said this morning, it's almost the first interregnum. Jesus has gone to the Father, but the Spirit hasn't come yet. It's a promise, but just for a moment, I was wondering what it was like for those disciples. A few weeks ago, they were devastated to lose him. Then, in awe, disbelief, wonder, he rose and they met him again. And now he'd left them. Is there any wonder they stood staring at the point they'd seen him disappear? Maybe there was awe and wonder, but I wonder if there wasn't a little desolation. What now? And in that prayer Jesus makes in the reading from the Gospel of John, what a task. He says, the work that I've begun, I pass on to them. He prays for them. But not only for them, for those who will come to faith through him. And that's to us. That's a direct link to ourselves and the Bible. We can read that passage, and Jesus is praying there for each and every one of us. Yes, to take on the work he begun, to continue building the church, but to be one as he and the Father are one, which can be a task. We're not all the same, thank goodness. But we have wonderful things in common. If it was not for my faith, I'd never have met you guys, because I'd probably still be living in Sheffield. After all, why would I leave? But my faith set me on a journey that over the years has led me to take up a particular ministry in the church, which at this point puts me with you. And for this, I'm very grateful. What I thought I would share with you to link maybe Ascension and MHA is this, which we made at our Ascension service at Ladies Lord and Angelita Court on Thursday. I asked everybody to pick a stone from a pile, and it represented them. And they're all different. Some of them are still a bit muddy. Some are beautiful. Some are broken. Different colours, different sizes, different shapes. And at the point towards the end of the service where we were dedicating ourselves to build up our community in love, we placed them into this cross. Together, we can make something spectacular. Yes, maybe those who took part could stare at it and find the little bit that was them. But together we make something far more beautiful than we can as individuals. We're not all the same, but it's our very diversity that makes us the community we are. Not that there's not room for improvement, but we're the best we can be. After all, God made us, and he thinks we're all right. So that's just one image of how our diversity brought together makes something far better than each individual thing. My ministry at Angelita Court and now Ladies Lord, we celebrate our anniversary in a few weeks' time. Angelita Court will have been open 2 years this summer and Ladies Lord 1 year. Yes, it's had its hardships. In those 18 months, we have said goodbye, passed 17 residents on to their next stage of their journey. One of my residents, as I've said before, refers to Angelita Court as God's departure lounge. He's been waiting over a year now for that flight and gets increasingly frustrated. So all those people trying to get away on holidays might be grateful of a few hours' delay. But most people have moved there because they need either care or some help with living. And it is, for all of them, effectively their final move before that last one. And they have prepared for that. And it's a real gift to see that and to share that journey with them. But it does obviously bring sadness when each person leaves us. But to see and share some of the stories has been fantastic. In our Lenten study, we followed a particular course through which included people sharing their journey, telling their own story. And I remember one session, it was heart-rending. There were, at moments, there was somebody telling his painful story through tears. But yet, minutes later, we were roaring with laughter as somebody else shared theirs. This society we live in does seem at this time to be treating age as a problem. Our church does that. I've been at so many meetings when it says, how do we reduce the average age of our congregation? And I'm thinking, short of culling, I'm not sure. It's sometimes the wrong starting point. I'm not saying youth work is the wrong place to start, because both of our churches employ workers to do that work. And if you've been to Messy Church or Storybox or out in there, you know how fantastic it can be. But sometimes I think we ought to start by ministering better to the people we are and that we already have. As I say in Partnership News, it's my firm belief if we nourish ourselves spiritually, emotionally, physically, we will be an attractive community that people will want to join. And with time, it would become in our nature to adapt ourselves to welcome those new people in. We can risk becoming so set in the way we do things without realising it does actually exclude people. So, Ascension, yes, may be simply about the promise of Pentecost. Jesus had to leave us for the Spirit to be released. It is a great commission for us to carry on that work. It is a direct link with the gospel. It's a joyful time. It's a time of preparation. And it's a time to rededicate ourselves to being that beautifully diverse community of oddballs that God wants us to be. Amen.